Hello and welcome to Redefine, your home for news about parental school choice and education reform.
Representative Morgan, let me first say it's an honor to be able to interview you. Thank you so much for giving me some of your time today.
Thanks for having me. Anytime I get to talk about kids and education reform, I am in.
Okay, awesome. Well, here's my standard question for the Democrats we talked to. You're a strong Democrat. You're a strong school choice supporter. And public perception often seems to be that you can't be both. So how do you reconcile those two things? Obviously, you feel like you can be both.
Sure. I think as a Democrat, my values are very much aligned with where I am on school choice. And quite frankly, I want my Democratic colleagues to join me. I think at some point we're going to realize that school choice ought to be our issue. And what do I mean by that? When you think about education and particularly schools and how kids get to go to schools, it's based on their zip code. It's based on how some district, some group of people got together and decided that lines would be drawn. And I don't think that's the most equitable way to decide how kids get to go to school. And so in terms of leveling the playing field, as a Democrat, I believe that every child ought to have access to a great education. And if for some reason their zip code may determine otherwise, then we've got to level the playing field. We've got to put policies in place to ensure that, you know, how much my parents make or what neighborhood I live in does not determine the quality of the education. And so I think in terms of leveling the playing field, in terms of equal access, in terms of equality, to me, those are very much Democratic values and why I support school choice.
So you think, actually, Democrats should be taking the lead on this?
I absolutely believe that. I think it should be a bipartisan issue.
Okay.
I mean, I think that it's a nonpartisan issue. Don't get me wrong. I think, and I always say this, that education is not a Democrat or Republican issue. It's a kids' issue. But I do think that Democrats should provide some leadership here and not be sort of dragged along as these reforms happen across the country.
Okay. Here's another question that ties into that perception. So, you know, given that the perception is often that this is that school choice is a right-wing thing, is it hard being a Democrat who supports school choice? I mean, is it awkward sometimes, or is there pressure sometimes because you're a pro-school choice Democrat?
It's extremely difficult and sometimes very lonely because you're not only having to deal with being, you know, sometimes in isolation or the only person who in your caucus or Democratic group that supports this issue, but then you have just the politics that enter that. And so let me give you an example. It's very difficult when you're in politics, number one, because a lot of this is about trust. And so if you are a Republican, as an example, and you are pushing, let's say, what would be considered anti-democratic issues. So let's say you're against Obamacare. You think that, you know, we should lower taxes so that, you know, we're not having as many services and a safety net for individuals or for families. Let's say you're pushing all of those things. And then the next day you come and you're pushing a charter school bill. Well, the Democrats are going to look at you and say, well, if you don't want people to have health care, you don't want people to have their government as their safety net, now you want charter schools. And so they would assume that you must have some agenda that you're trying to destroy public entities.
Right.
And so it's difficult as a Democrat to be aligned with sometimes a group of people who are pushing things that I don't even believe in. I don't support, you know, some of the things that some of my Republican colleagues have pushed in the legislature. But what I've learned to do is to separate that we agree on this set of issues and on these things we can work together. On the other thing, I'm going to fight you, just like the other Democrats do. But I don't think some of my friends on the Democratic side have been able to make that separation. And I would say, you know, understandably so. There are some very difficult issues that we have to deal with across the spectrum. And so it makes it very challenging when you are alone as a Democrat, and then you have to deal with the politics as well. So it can be isolating.
Okay. Well, Representative Morgan, tell me just briefly, if you don't mind, about your own evolution on school choice. I mean, and this is another question I always ask Democrats, were you always a school choice supporter, or was there a gradual change over time, or was there an aha, eureka moment at some point? I mean, tell me how you got there.
Well, it was an evolution for me, for sure. When I first got elected at 23, this was in 2003, I was sworn in. I had come out of the NAACP, and I would even say was indoctrinated. I didn't quite understand public school choice as much, but I knew the talking points about vouchers and private school choice. Couldn't exactly explain the dynamics or particulars of it, but I knew all the talking points to get through any conversation.
Okay.
And then the more I grew up, quite frankly, in terms of my own life, I got married, we started a family, I had my daughter, I realized as I talked to my friends and started having to make choices for my own child that I was more of a school choice supporter than I realized. And I thought about my own life experience, that I am a product of public school choice. If my mother did not have the wisdom, and my parents in general did not have the wisdom to send me to schools that best would best meet my needs, I wouldn't be who I am today. And so it was looking at my own life experience. My husband started working at a charter school, which I'd never even heard of a charter school before that, and then making decisions about my own daughter helped me to go through this evolution and recognize that a lot of my opposition was really political. And if I took the politics out and just started having regular conversations with regular people, I realized that this was much more of a reality for parents, that they just want what's best for their kids, and they don't really want to hear, and they don't care about the politics. And so that's why I now fall.
Well, this is fascinating. So tell me, did you go to a magnet school? Is that what you meant by a public school choice option?
I did. For elementary school, I went to a school on a minority-to-majority transfer. For middle school, I went to a performing arts magnet school. And then for high school, I went to a performing arts high school where the entire school, everybody was there, doing some sort of arts discipline.
Okay.
And so my entire K-12 education was public school choice.
Okay. Well, and just so our Florida readers know this, you're a Miami native, right? So you're talking about schools in Miami?
Yes. That's correct.
Okay. Well, here's an argument that comes up over and over again about school choice that I'd like to just throw out and see what you think about it and what your response to it is. And I'm sure, these arguments found traction as much in Georgia as they do in Florida. But, here over and over again, whether it's charter schools or vouchers or whatever, the opposition always brings up this idea that this is part of a privatization agenda, that, charter schools and vouchers, this is all about a plot to privatize public education. What do you think of that argument, and how do you respond to that argument?
I don't think it makes a lot of sense, quite frankly.
Okay.
I don't believe that this is a conspiracy to privatize education. First and foremost, the vast majority of kids in this country are going to attend public schools. We want that to be the case, and we have to be equally committed to ensuring that every school in this country, in Georgia and Florida and every other state, offers a great education for every child who wants to attend those schools, period. But secondly, will I acknowledge that there may be some people in the education reform space who want to see more privatization in public education? Sure. But I think that's a very small element. I haven't actually met any of those people, but I will acknowledge that that is a possibility.
Okay.
But all the people that I work with and know very well who do this work, their interest really is in kids and making sure that they've got options. Whether it's public or private, we just want to do what's best for kids and not leave it to some district lines or some, arbitrary process to decide what's best for kids. And so I reject that notion, and I haven't seen any evidence where that is the case.
I suppose, too, that the parents largely could care less. I mean, the many parents I've talked to, I don't think they even think in terms of whether this is public or private or nonprofit or for-profit. They're just thinking, well, what is the track record of this entity, and is it going to be able to get my kid to where I want him to be and he deserves to be? They're not thinking about
sure.
private. You know what I mean? It's not, that's
yeah.
just such not a a part of the narrative in their heads. I don't think they're thinking about that. They just want results. They just want success for their kids.
I would agree. And I also think it's important to add that education is already privatized. When you think about who provides textbooks and pencils and, you know, who's putting the technology in schools, those are mostly private companies.
Yes.
So the question is, what is going to get us to a place where we are educating every child and giving them a quality education? And I think you are exactly right. I think parents could care less. They just want a great education for their child. And if the company who is managing the school is nonprofit or for-profit, I think they're less concerned about that.
Okay. Somebody with the Georgia Charter Schools Association a few months back shared with me some really fascinating details about how the vote went down on the charter school amendment there in Georgia. And it showed that black voters voted for the amendment in very, very, by very, very strong margins, which I don't, I'm not in Georgia, so I could be wrong about this, but I don't think that angle of it got covered that much. So what do you think of that turnout? I mean, what does that say that, you know, very strong majorities of black voters said yes to the charter school amendment?
I think it's very much a reflection of the reality of education in Georgia. You know, did the parents understand or did the voters understand every nuance of the legislation? No. But what they do understand is that what we currently have isn't working, and I'm desperate for something that's better for my child. And they see whether it's a charter school, just whatever the additional options are, they are desperate for, and I think that's what the vote was. And so I was not surprised because I am very connected to the community, and I hear these conversations on a daily basis. And the more I talk to voters during that amendment battle, it was all the same. Absolutely, we want the state to be able to authorize charters because we need more choice. And so now it's up to Democrats and those of us who are policymakers in general to listen to what the electorate had to say.
Okay. Well, that's a perfect dovetail into my last question, and thanks for all your patience with me. So what has to be done to get more Democrats on board with school choice?
I think the critical piece to moving this conversation along is parents and advocates for their kids, because I think Florida is a great example. If you look at the tax credit scholarship program, which was widely opposed by Democrats and Black Caucus members in
right.
particular.
Right.
But if that vote were taken again today, there would be a large amount of support. And what made the difference? People got parents organized. Parents who wanted those options, who are seeing those options work for their kids, are speaking to their policymakers. And so we've got to see more of that, where your listeners and people who are engaged in this, even if they're not involved in the quote-unquote movement, but they're just the average person who wants a great education for their child, they got to start communicating more with policymakers and help bridge this gap. Because there's a real disconnect between what policymakers believe and what people are actually living on a day-to-day basis when it comes to these issues.
Right.
And I think that will make a difference.
So it's got to be bottoms up. You want to see more parents out there, open, active.
Yes.
Okay.
Advocating for themselves and teaching policymakers, you know, what's important to them.
Okay, great. Well, Representative Morgan, this was awesome. Thank you so much for taking all your time with me today.
Thank you for having me.